Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
All right, Jeffrey, happy November mids to you and yours, All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. I'm just excited to be here, Jeff, because 2 weeks in a row, we made it happen again. Lots of stuff going on. You had the fires. You've had baby announcements. Spoiler alerts. We didn't really talk about that, I guess. But, you know, baby announcements. Halloween has come and gone. Thanksgiving in about 2 weeks or so from today, actually. 2 weeks from today. We had a barn burner of a Patriots-Jets football game that we really need the reaction to come after on this. But, you know, while you're here, Terry, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. This is the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast you're listening to on whatever medium it is. You know, we are on Spotify as well. Enough of the rigmarole. Jeff, how you doing?
Well, I'm glad, you know, we're getting back into that groove. Like you said, fall weather, fall times, Thanksgiving. We're making it happen for the listeners. Like you said, subscribe, rate, review. Hit us up on Twitter at ATF Fantasy. You've been hitting up the Twitter big time, calling out, the worldwide leader. You've been, making claims about, the finances of your Twitter timeline. I mean, you have been active and spitting some flame. We'll bring some of that flame over to the podcast handle. Speaking of financials and first world problems, Will, the unofficial, at this point, they're the official sponsor, Gutter Guards, holding up strong. But talk to me more. Fall is here. California finally cooled down. We're getting into, the 60s as the highs and, the 40s at night, which for California people means break out the Canada Goose. We've arrived in fall, baby.
As we are taping this right now, torrential downpour right now, flooding of the streets. Getting some of that tropical storm Eta that is coming up from Florida and the Gulf. So we're getting numerous flash flood warnings on the phone. And interesting enough, my flash flood warnings are coming in Spanish first. So kind of strange. So it's kind of scaring me first, and then eventually I get a new one in English. So kind of shocking when you get an emergency alert in a different language right away. Kind of weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, very strange.
How did you get on that list?
Right now. And fall, the weather been super strange. Had the cool air for the first couple weeks. This whole week's been humid and 80. Yesterday was 84 degrees and humid. You do not like that. That is not good weather. But that's because we knew a storm was coming. And the reason I'm talking about leaves and gutter guards and all this stuff. So gutter guards are great. See all the leaves. We have two big trees in our front yard. We also have a tree in our neighbor's yard in the back. And just on Monday, which was 3 days ago, we did a little yard cleanup, the old weekly yard cleanup. Gather all the leaves, chop them up, bag them up, put them away. And then the garbage people come and take them that day. Had a nice, pristine-looking front yard Monday at about 4 p.m., go to Tuesday at 7 a.m., it's like we didn't do anything.
Jeez.
The trees rained havoc on us just right overnight. Just a little bit of rain knocks all these leaves down, and you just stare outside, and you're like, what was the point? What was the point? What was the point of making your yard all clean and tidied up for just 8 hours? So that is very frustrating, Jeff. And now that it's raining and pouring, not going to be able to do any of that for a while. So the grass is about to get destroyed by soaking and melty leaves.
Ooh,
homeowner problems right there. No.
Yeah. What tools are you using? You got a blower? Are you using a rake? I don't know. A stand up, like one of those things that just shoots it out the side. I don't know. I mean, living in California with literally a plot of concrete as my yard, I can't say I relate to the leaf life. What are you working with, Will?
I like to use a bevy of tools at my disposal.
Naturally.
I like the manual rake labor at times. Ashley's more prone to the you kind of blow them into a pile, and then hack alert, you mow them. You mow them with a lawnmower, chop them all up, make them smaller to get them into a bag. So I used to do the old manual, get the rake, lift them up, putting them in a trash bag, but I've now gone to the Ashley ways. Line them up, mow them over, and then bag them up from there. So do that little bit of rake and a lawnmower and the leaf blower. The blower is kind of scary though, because leaf blower just kind of blows everything. So we got mulch and rocks
Ooh.
as well. And if you
Oh,
use the leaf blower a little too vigorously, stuff goes flying everywhere. So
yeah,
those are the tools at our disposal. And you said, and obviously living in California my whole life, didn't have to experience this as well, but it's kind of fun having just a garage full of stuff, you know?
I was gonna say, gender roles be darned. Ashley out there with the mower hitting those leaf piles, getting it
Oh,
to the right
she loves
consistency.
the she loves to like trim and do the bushes with the big old shears, and
Oh
she likes
yeah.
to use yeah she likes to use the wow I can't even now I can't even think what it's called. I'm not even gonna say it.
Too
She
many
likes to use other
tools, too
stuff
many
too to make the
tools.
yard look good. Sound yeah, just too many tools to make the yard look, because she says I do a hack job, so that's fine.
Oh.
Yeah, I do a hack job.
Shots
Sorry about that.
fired.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, what do you got going on? Xboxes. How many Xboxes is Taco Bell giving you?
I think you'd be proud of me, Will. I think I bring it up every team meeting, like I add a new little layer. So the first was
No.
like, oh, you guys got, did everyone get an Xbox? Like, how did they distribute it? And then this last one, I was like, when did they make the announcement? And then when was the actual like distribution period? And they're like, oh, at the holiday party. And I was like, okay, so that's like December
Ooh.
17th. So I was like, but how are they going to do it? Like, are they just going to have them at campus and we have to roll by and then we grab and go? Like, I'm just trying to think of the
Inquisitive, grab
logistics
and
in a
go.
hypothetical situation, how it would work out. Unfortunately, people, I guess, hadn't used their other Xbox, which I guess was an Xbox X, One X. I don't know. I don't even know anymore. I'm so behind the times. They were already donated to other people, and I was like, ah, come on, you're killing me over here, because I just got a new game, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Big proponent of the AC
Yeah,
series.
you
I
love
know
the
you're not
AC,
big on
yeah.
it. Big into the single player, just hit a little bit here and there. Not that I don't love the multiplayer, it's just harder with the kid and the dog and everything going on to get, pop in and let the teammates down. I will say this game has been 100% optimized for the newest consoles and kind of looks dingy
Oh
on my
no.
Xbox. Again, we're very early on. We're early stages. I'll hold my review maybe for the next pod, but needless to say, not a whole lot of difference thus far from the previous game, which, I think is maybe I was too close to it. I know before playing the previous incarnation of Assassin's Creed, I had a couple year hiatus, so it kind of felt new. But we'll hold off. We'll hold off. But early previews are, I need that TV Xbox to take it to the actual level, I think, of the gameplay and the visuals that are being shown.
I'm just picturing the grab and go section of a Taco Bell holiday party where it's like, "Hey, come and grab this 40-pound grab and go section." Also, right next to the apple juice and the mimosa, and as well as just a giant Xbox sitting at the table where you're free to, as you say, grab and go.
Yes.
What would you say to the people, and when I say people, I mean me, who are calling this game Assassin's Creed God of War?
It's definitely looking like there's going to be elements of that in, I mean, I would actually say the previous version was Assassin's Creed God of War, because that was like in the Greek, I guess, area, and they had a bunch of one of the like side tracks was you're fighting monsters from Greek mythology. So I'm guessing we're going to get some Norse mythology in this one. I'm pretty sure it is. It is quite simple, but a little tease there. There could be some dragons in this one, which, is just a rip off of Skyrim. So, that's always fun.
It just looks like, yeah, Assassin's Creed Vikings or whatever, whatever this is, Norse mythology. And the reason I said that too, because remember the last God of War was Norse mythology. It came out,
Ooh,
what
there
was
we
it,
go.
4 years ago? Kurt and Scotty, remember, they bought an Xbox, or well, PlayStation just to play.
Just for that.
God of War. Jeff, let's just get straight into it here. NFL midway react. You know, we don't do a lot of this. And, you know, in the preseason, well, before the season, which I guess you could still call preseason, we made Super Bowl picks. We made bold predictions. One of mine was that the Bengals and Lions would both make the playoffs. And, I mean, you know,
it's possible.
Not terrible, especially if they do 16 teams now in the playoffs, yeah. Which would just be, can't wait to watch the Kansas City Chiefs go up against the Bengals in that first round matchup, if that ever happened. But let's just get to, if you had to pick Super Bowl teams now, if you had to pick best teams, worst teams, just give me, I listed bullet points, we don't have to go through all of them, you don't have to name three things for each of them. I'll kind of start off here just to give you a second to think. If I were to pick the best team or even the team I would most want to watch in the playoffs, if it got to that point, and I'm going to take the Chiefs out of it because every week I feel like they are just must-watch TV.
Yeah.
I think under the radar team that I really like watching is the Packers. And
yep.
I'll tell you why. Even though last season they were just absolutely destroyed in the NFC Championship by the 49ers, I think Devontae Adams is on a whole other level this year. Aaron Rodgers is kind of on a comeback all-pro season tour. Their defense still isn't very good. Their run defense is really bad. But just watching these other players, they have Jamal Williams who's been stepping up. These random tight ends when they're not on my fantasy team are stepping up. MVS, Alan Lazard. And I think having that team in the playoffs and having Aaron Rodgers be good and cocky is good for the league. And I wish, and we didn't have this, you could say this about basketball, right? There was never that Kobe versus LeBron finals.
Yeah.
In the NFL, we never got Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I would really hate it, and we were this close last year to getting it, if we did not get Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers. I think that would just be an outstanding Super Bowl. I think that would easily be the highest rated Super Bowl of all time, regardless of fans or COVID impacting it at all. I think having those two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, I don't care about Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, even Russell Wilson to an extent. I just want to see those two dudes kind of battle it off in what might be the only chance we get to see that.
Yeah, that was honestly going to be my choice, Packers, Chiefs. If I had to pick kind of my next tier, I would say Steelers, just for that defense and doing enough on offense. With some really young talent that's intriguing on the offensive side, with kind of Big Breeze, if you will. NFC is a bit more open. I mean, I feel like between the Saints, the Bucks, and the Seahawks, they probably have the talent on offense to make a streaky run. I just think the Seahawks defense isn't good enough, and the Bucks just, I don't know, you feel like they don't, can't put enough games consistently together without laying a big deuce. You felt like their defense was trending up, and then it kind of came back down to earth. And the Saints, their defense hasn't been as good, but I would probably land on the Saints. Just we haven't even seen the offense with Michael Thomas yet, and they're 6-2. And they're getting healthier on the defensive side as well. So I feel like they can make a run. They have the Alvin Kamara, it's crazy. I forget what the stats were, but Alvin Kamara and I'm blanking on the other running back's name who's been
Latavius.
A revelation this year.
Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, Dalvin Cook. It's like Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook are like 100 points ahead of Derrick Henry in running back points. It's crazy. Half PPR. So that would be my second choice. There are some dark horses. You mentioned the Cardinals. You're not about it. I don't think they're good enough. You know, Mike Murphy's all on the Rams. I don't think they have enough on the offense to do anything. And then, who are we looking at? Bears? No.
Okay, let's take it. Take it easy.
Like I'm saying, I think there's, you know, four teams in the NFC, maybe five. And then the AFC, after the Chiefs and Steelers, I mean, the Titans could get feisty. I don't know where you are on the Bills. I feel like they're coming back down to earth a little bit. Dolphins seem, if I had to pick one team that surprised me, I know that's our next section. Dolphins have super surprised me. No real big names on either side of the ball, and they're just putting together wins. It's just a sign of good coaching.
We can go right there. That boom, right there, the last two words you just said. We can go to most surprising teams and players, and the Dolphins definitely stand out. And you can put the Cardinals there too, although for different reasons. I think the Dolphins stand out because of their coaching, because you just mentioned it. What, their best offensive player is Devontae Parker, who's good, who's been good the last season and a half. But other than that, their running backs have been just a whirlwind of people. Jordan Howard started for them last weekend. They have Matt Breida, who's been hurt. Miles Gaskin now is hurt. Their tight end is Mike Gesicki, who is up and down. And then their defense, they have some good cornerbacks, but I couldn't name a linebacker. And I think of myself as a really good NFL player or, researcher and knowledge. I know they have Kyle Van Noy. There you go. Signed him from the Patriots. But their coach is outstanding, Brian Flores. And we can put that as someone like the Chargers, who we just love to talk about on this podcast, and I love to talk about, because that's a team where you could name 10 players right off the bat on the Chargers. But their coaching is terrible. If you flip those coaching staffs, I could imagine that the records would be swapped and the Chargers would be 6-2 or something like that because of the coaching. So if we want to go to most surprising teams, Dolphins are on there for me. And I think I am going to put, this is going to be a really random one, but the Vikings, as of lately, and you already mentioned Dalvin Cook, they started off 0-3, I believe, or maybe 1-3, and now they are 4-4, maybe, or 3-6, or 3-5, I know there's somewhere around there. But Dalvin Cook has just been the absolute heart and soul of that team. And the reason I bring them up is because you said the Saints is like your kind of Super Bowl pick. But remember, the Saints lost to the freaking Vikings in New Orleans last season in the playoffs. Yep. And this Vikings team is relatively the same. They don't have Stephon Diggs, but they have Justin Jefferson. I think the Saints still need to show me that they can do something. They've won one Super Bowl. They've only been to one Super Bowl with this core of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They'd never do anything in the playoffs. Yeah, they were robbed against the Rams a couple years ago, but would they have beaten the Patriots? I don't know. You can't say anything about that anymore. There's also some dumb decisions in that game anyway. They really love using freaking Taysom Hill.
Yeah, that's stupid.
So I don't know if we're going to get into a situation with the Saints where you're in a, maybe they're playing the Packers in the playoffs and it's 2 minutes left in the game and it's a key third down and here comes Taysom Hill to do a trick play. It's like, what? I could just see that happening. And if it succeeds, then they call Sean Payton a hero and a mastermind. And if it doesn't succeed, they're calling for his head. So most surprising for me would be the Vikings. And then the other side of it, I would say just the Saints are that team that I'm not really kind of looking forward to watching more of.
One team that I think has disappointed, and it hasn't really shown in their record, but I think the Colts have been disappointing from the offensive side of the ball. I think their defense has done enough to keep them in games. Rivers has been, the bad version of Rivers. This offensive line was supposed to be dominant. Jonathan Taylor was supposed to just take the reins and run with it. And now Nyheim Hines is back in the mix.
Yeah, thanks.
They're in that AFC South, so there's some duds in the Texans and Jaguars to beat up on. But I think people came into the season with high expectations for that team. And at this point, Jake Brissett might be a little bit more competitive with Rivers than we originally thought going into the season. So I think, the Colts will be one of those hyped teams going into, the first weekend of the playoffs. But I think they're going to bow out pretty early. I don't see it unless they start turning things around on the offensive side. Like, where is T.Y. Hilton next year, I think is the question we have to ask now.
Oh, wow. Who will trade for him? And the defense did a great job against the Ravens. The Ravens had 55 yards of offense in the first half in that game this past week. And that's the Ravens.
They're one of those teams built to stop the Ravens, right? They have those strong linebackers that are 100%. Fast. So.
Fast linebackers. And you have if we want to just talk about more least surprising or disappointing teams, and that's the Ravens. They by the way, Dez Bryant, welcome to the team. Lamar Jackson
I was like, whoa, Dez Bryant back in the league. Oh, the X is my son.
Hey, they need all the help they can get, apparently, and their defense is always going to be there for the Ravens, and they seem to me, the Ravens, I want to kind of relate them to the Patriots in the way that they can never draft that, like, supporting cast. When's the last time you were like, ooh, Ravens, great draft pick? And I don't mean Lamar Jackson. I mean a wide receiver, a tight end, a running back. Like, they have five running backs on their team right now, and every time you think they're in love with one of them, they play the other one. Their wide receivers, I mean, if we're saying Marquise Brown is the best one they've picked, we're kind of stretching it right now because they're just never picking good ones. They drafted Hayden Hurst in the first or second round 2 years ago, traded into the Falcons. They obviously have Mark Andrews right now. The Patriots are the same way. They had Tom Brady for so long. It could never draft someone to kind of support them over a 10-year period. And the Ravens are kind of seeing that right now, that, oh, they still only have Lamar Jackson. Now we can try to just focus on him since they don't have anybody else we're scared of. So the Ravens are definitely that team that I also don't like watching the Ravens play. I've never liked watching them play over the last 15 years. They don't seem exciting to me, even when last year when Lamar was the MVP or the year before that when he was kind of like the revelation. I'd much rather watch the Chiefs play than the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They are quite boring but effective. Well, that was good. Any other teams you want to talk about, Will? Any other surprises? I mean, you know, Jets almost beat the Pats, but, you know, then they blew that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we could.
Panthers, I think, have been a little bit exciting, but they're not going to do enough.
Hey, they've had two straight weeks of a potential game-winning 68-yard field goal. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Never made it, but one of these weeks is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, let's just go straight into our League the Ship. We got a lot of stuff on our docket today. We got to get right into the gusto here. The Ship Power Rankings, I did them. I'm relatively unchanged. Only a couple people moving up and down. Bye weeks are definitely taking a force here in fantasy. This week especially, got the Chiefs and the Falcons on a bye. Definitely going to hurt some teams with a lot of investment in those two teams. And it'll make DraftKings not very fun, I'll tell you that. Yeah. But we got 12 teams in this league. Me and you, terrible. One of us just, you know, near the bottom. But I think we're not going to spend too much time on the bottom two. 12th, I've got Twinkies. They were 11th last week, but I don't even know why I put them 11th. They're not even trying. They didn't even set a lineup this week. They scored, I think, 50 points. Good luck to everybody who gets to play them and get a free win the rest of the season. I did not get that luxury. I got the one win that Twinkies had because, as I mentioned last week, he had Jonathan Taylor the one time that he scored 20-something points. So good on me for facing him. I'm in 11th. Nick Chubb might play this week, I guess. Time to play spoiler, Jeff. That's where I'm going with that one. So those are the bottom two teams right there.
Yeah. No issue there. I could almost put myself, who you have at number 10 right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jackson plays one. What? No?
I said no. I mean, there's a reason I have you still not quite yet in the fork section. Justin Jackson, I found out, got hurt. I didn't know that because I've had him in DraftKings and saw that he had a zero. And Kalen Ballage, who's been on four teams in the last, like, what, season and a half? All of a sudden, is like the Chargers' best running back. Also,
not great.
Can we get an update on Eckler? What the hell is going on with him? I have you in 10th, above the forked category, and the reason is this: you need to win out. You're 3-6. You got to win out. 7-6 is like the cusp of making the playoffs, especially in this league. But Christian McCaffrey hurt again. Mike Davis, he lives. Your schedule: you play against me this week. You know I'm not doing anything unless I'm trying to spoil you. You got the commish, whose team is on the rise, and then you got Bluey. Those are your next three games. Two of them definitely winnable. The commish might be your one, maybe speed bump in the road. But that's why I have you at 10th. It starts this week, though. It could end.
Yeah, no. I don't think we need to spend any more time. Thank you for doing that schedule look. That's good because those teams are ahead. Two games back of the playoffs right now. Need to overtake those who are ahead of me. Number 9, another team who needs to do the same at 4-5 oppressed. Mahomes on bye. Not great for a team that has been pretty Mahomes heavy. He's got Tua in there. That could be interesting. Miles Sanders. Another huge disappointment coming back from injury this week, it looks like. He's got some young talent, but I don't feel like this team is any more deserving than a ninth place position. Who's he playing this week? He's got COVID Sauce, so kind of a matchup there that's interesting. And if he wins, he continues his way towards the playoffs.
Spoiler alert, one of the matchups of the week coming up.
Ooh, little tease there. I like what you did. At number 8, Bluey, you mentioned him. He's going up against Coast, and he's another one of those teams at 4-5, sitting on the outside of the playoff situation. Is this another potential matchup? I mean, Coast having some issues with bye weeks this week.
You got him.
really close. Deshaun Watson kind of turning it on right now. Allen Robinson, get him off the Bears. My goodness. So I think, you know, is that James Robinson? I think he's sitting at 4th in overall running back. So that was a great pickup by Bluey. You know, this team has some spice. I think we said that from the beginning. So I think, you know, he could make a run at the playoffs. Again, he's one game back, and it starts this week against Coastin, who has some bye week troubles.
Number 7, our favorite player, Mazzaretti, previously at 8, moves up one spot, has a potential to make another run, just classic, has a pretty tough matchup this week, though, and to be honest, he's got Julio Jones on bye, Amari Cooper on bye, but you know what, who cares about that, probably wouldn't play him anyway, hasn't set his lineup yet, so tough to give a correct projection about what he's got going on this week. But he does have T. Higgins. He does have Cooper Kupp that'll kind of fill in those spots of Amari Cooper and Julio Jones. And I think we said this 4 or 5 weeks ago. He lives and dies with Josh Allen. His backup quarterback is Baker, who he's probably really never going to put in there. And Josh Allen had another great game last week, which actually wasn't even enough to get him the win, to be honest. Thought he did win last week, but he did not. Going up against Fresh Prince this week. Not do or die yet because of the logjam in the middle, but you pretty much want to win out, whoever you are in this league with this many teams. Jeff, number 6, I got COVID Saw. Even though in the standings he's 5th, and he actually lost, or actually he beat the person in 5th above him in these power rankings. But the reason I have him just under... and the outside looking at it is I still don't like these running backs. David Montgomery, J.D. McKissick now, Damian Harris, and Drake is still kind of barely practicing, not getting full attention in there. And he's just got a whole bunch of Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals had
a great game last week, the Cardinals did. This week they're playing the Bills. If the Cardinals... win against the Bills, then COVID Saw will probably win. If the Cardinals put up a stinker, then he will probably lose.
Yeah, and he really needs to win to keep the teams behind him at bay. The team is this week a little bit less boom or bust. It is just 100% Cardinals, to your point. It's all hinging on the Cardinals. Number 5, Captain COVID. Captain COVID sitting in that last playoff position, but we have him here. We have him 5th. I think he has a big matchup this week going up against Bosa, these nuts. Close projections. You know, you like Lamar Jackson, AJ Brown. Scary Terry has been really good this year. I think a little bit underrated. And Aaron Jones, we talked about the Packers. Then, you know, you get some duds, but... has enough firepower on a weekly basis to be competitive, like we talked about, going up against both of these nuts, really close projections, a team that if they win, they probably only need to win, you know, 2 or 3 of the next games, 3 to be really safe. So it starts this week with going up against a number 3 in the standings teams. But You don't think he's a top dog. Talk about this team, Will.
Who, Captain COVID?
No, Bosa.
Oh, you're talking about Bosa. Sorry. You said he, sorry. All right, yeah, Bosa, he's not. So just a bit outside, I have in the new little category here, and Christian McCaffrey, just so much for getting him back, makes a nice little appearance, gets you 20 points, and goes back and gets hurt again. Hurt, injured his shoulder. Did anyone win that trade, Christian McCaffrey for Cam Newton and J.K. Dobbins? I don't think anyone won that trade, because both guys have missed about 13 games since that trade.
He didn't even start him, though.
And, well, I have no reason to at this point. I mean,
yeah,
whatever. Well, although Ben Roethlisberger has COVID now. Anyway, Cam Newton's been a COVID case for my fantasy team, really infecting the locker room. But both of these nuts, I just love saying that, both of these nuts, going to have a tough week because he does have a couple Chiefs on his team, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Obviously no Christian McCaffrey. He has Derrick Henry in a big game tonight against the Colts. Can Bosa D's nuts get a win without these players? If he gets this win without his stars, then I think he pretty much elevates himself into the area of the top dogs.
Yeah, can't agree there. Can't agree more there.
Can't agree.
Top dogs. Can't agree there. I think Bosa's team is good. Yeah, one more win probably gets him in the playoffs. You know, he's going to be competitive on a week-to-week basis if CMC comes back, can take him to the next level. Number three, a team I beat, Coastin. Interesting. He's starting Justin Herbert. He's moved Michael Thomas into the lineup. You said Nick Chubb, is he being activated off IR, or is he
he's practicing. Play?
Oh, okay. So Kareem Hunt in the lineup could take a step back. I think Coastin's team is solid. I don't think it's anything to be afraid of on a week-to-week basis. I think he's right there with Bosa. But I think there's some ups. I mean, he has Dez Bryant on his bench. I mean, oh my word. Yikes. You know, we talked about it. Davante Adams being a revelation, I think, has really catapulted this team. You know, when we talked about, who was it? Mazda's team. Living and dying by Josh Allen, this team is riding the coattails of Davante Adams' big season. And, you know, adding Michael Thomas to that mix could provide a boost that he needs. He's sitting pretty right now in the standings at number 2, 7-2, a playoff team, a top dog coasted.
Number 2 above him in our power rankings is Impeach Trump. Again, can we change the name, people? I said last week on this pod that he had the best foursome of players. And three of those players got a total of 93 points. Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Dalvin Cook. His fourth one, Chris Carson, has been out with an injury. So if three players get him 93, just watch out, rest of the league. That's why I think he's very close, just a sliver away from becoming number one in the power rankings with his BFF. But this team is just so solid, and I'm not even talking about someone like DJ Moore, who throughout the season has performed. And not even including them in like his top four players on his team. Jeff, how do you feel about someone like Impeach Trump? And does he have what it takes to be a back-to-back champion?
I mean, if Dalvin Cook keeps doing what he's doing and Carson gets a little bit back on track, I mean, yeah. I mean, Chris Godwin is in his flex right now. I mean, he hasn't been healthy this entire year. If he gets healthy with DK and DJ Moore providing some upside, I think it's got great. This team has great balance, in my opinion. You know, you got Rodgers playing at an MVP level week to week. I want to see what his floor has been. But then you also have the upside. I mean, also the floor of Cook, who's been great. Oh, he did have one stinker of a 3, but then his next lowest was 18 for Rodgers. Mark Andrews is probably the weakest link on this team. I like Daryl Henderson. He's also kind of a week-to-week proposition as well. But like we said, Chris Carson, get back, get healthy, get back in it on an explosive offense. I think he can compete with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but FPH has been the top dog the whole season, and he's definitely not moving down this week. Even with Clyde Edwards-Helaire on his bench, he's probably moving Devin Singletary into his lineup. He's, you know, we talked about it, 7-2, so not invincible, but, you know, playing Mazda ready this week can kind of cement his position. and add some distance between him, Peach, as in a league of his own top dog.
He is projected 104 without a running back and without a kicker.
Yep.
Just let that sink into you about what his point totals can be. If I were him, I'd probably put him Latavius Murray. Just get Kamara and Murray in there, and you won't miss any TDs with those running backs. Unless, of course, Taysom Hill decides to run one in. The three matchups of the week, Jeff, doozies. Last week they were snoozies. This week they are doozies. A lot of playoff just positioning in the play here. First one, I got Oppressed versus COVID Saw, which I'm calling the Battle of the Beguiled Friendship.
Ooh.
Maybe rekindled. Beguiled, rekindled, whatever you want to call it. Oppressed at 100.9 projection. COVID Saw 114. Kind of went over this. Oppressed needs to pretty much win out. COVID Saw can have a stinker or two. The Cardinals versus the Mahomes-less Oppressed, starting Tua. Who you got?
Whew. This is tough, I will say. I think it's closer than the projections say.
Agreed.
I'm going to lean COVID Saw, even with the, you know, overinvestment, in my opinion, in the Cardinals. I think Kyler Murray will provide a good amount of points. TJ Hawkinson has been a low-key good tight end. I think he's got enough. He's got that New Orleans D that could provide some upside. I'm just not a believer yet in Miles Sanders and David Johnson as solid pieces. Then again, you know, I'm not saying much.
Especially Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson. Yes, Duke Johnson. I mean, who are we working with? Josh Myers and J.D. McKissick, I guess.
Jacoby Myers. Hell, welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the squad. Oh, my word. Okay. Well, taking a look back. Yeah, I'm still leaning COVID Saw here. I think it's slight. It's a slight edge. I'm going COVID Saw.
Yahoo server is really getting bogged down with me and you because I'm trying to load the teams and just not doing anything. All right, we're back. Oh, Duke Johnson revenge game against the Browns. I mean, if I were to pick, it's really tough because I don't think Tua's going to, well, he is going up against the Chargers, so tough for me to say, but I don't
never
think Tua's going to get 22 points again. He got 5 against the Rams, 22 against the Cardinals. I mean, the game's probably going to come down to the wire, but I think the Chargers will keep Tua down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I am going to go COVID Saw here. I think if I were to go crazy here, I would put in Justin Jefferson over Duke Johnson to try to, because that ceiling with Justin Jefferson can be way higher than Duke Johnson. So I will go COVID Saw. I think we both are in agreement there, so don't need to write that down. Next matchup, Jeff, Bluey versus Coastin. We got playoffs in the balance for Bluey, and then the number one seed in the balance for Coastin. Potential there. Bluey projected for 113, Coastin for 105.7. Jeff, very enticing matchup here.
Yeah, and it should be noted, too, that Coastin does not have a defense. He has KC defense in there, so it will literally be
so even closer.
Even, pretty much, when he picks up a defense. This is tough because I think I like Bluey's team just a little bit more with the unknown factor about Michael Thomas, the boomer bust nature of Will Fuller to fifth and hasn't even busted, but it kind of cancels with Deshaun Watson on the other team. Kareem Hunt, like you said, Nick Chubb practicing this week, a little bit of a downgrade there. James Robinson. I think, like you wrote in the power rankings write-up, Will, and I don't think we touched on it. James Conner, I think, is the pivotal piece of this matchup. The pivotal piece. I think I'm going to go Coastin. I like his players a little bit more. Does he have someone he can bring in off the bench? Maybe Deebo Samuel if he gets healthy for Michael Thomas, depending on how that shakes out. I think I'm a leaning coast in here. It's going to be tight, though.
I thought you were weaving a web for Bluey. I really thought you were weaving a web because I am also going coast in right now. That trio of wide receivers is just insane. Unless, of course, This is the one factor here, and Bluey will come out with the win if I decide to pick Will Fuller in DraftKings. Because I've picked Will Fuller in DraftKings 2 times this year.
Ooh.
0 the first one, and 2 the second. Oh, every other game, he's scored about 100 points. So if I pick Will Fuller this week in DraftKings, Coastin, I'd watch out.
The final matchup, no name for the matchup, just a solid, solid matchup.
Yeah.
Both of these nuts versus Captain COVID. I mean, I think we're talking seeding implications for the playoffs right now. Just two solid teams, really. Bosa, does he have anyone for his running back slot that he could move in for Christian McCaffrey? He does not. So that does not bode well for him. He's probably going to have to pick up someone off the wire, which isn't great. Yeah. He does have Derrick Henry, though. But he is going up against the Colts, although you like the Thursday night matchup for the running back. Going back and forth, hitting up Captain COVID's team. We talked about Scary Terry and A.J. Brown and Aaron Jones with Lamar Jackson providing a nice core. But then some upside pieces at the bottom end of the roster. These teams are constructed very similarly. New England for Lamar and Rams for Wilson. I think I'm going both of these nuts.
Finally, we disagree. I am taking the commish and Captain COVID. I think his, again, another trio of stars on COVID. He's got McLaurin, Jones, and AJ. And I just think Aaron Jones getting healthier, Philip Lindsay hopefully getting more playing time over Melvin the Traitor Gordon. And the byes are really hurting both of these nuts this week, which is what I was saying. If he could win this week, he's in that top dog category. So I'm taking Captain COVID in the big matchup of the week for sure, Jeff.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. We'll see what happens. I think after this week, the playoff picture is going to come into a bit more focused. We can probably knock off myself from the hunt after this week. We'll see what happens with Bluey and Oppressed and Maz Duretti, who are teams in the hunt. Should we hit Rafpool William?
Jeff, here we go. Let's do it. Off the cuff. Notes on this one. Rafpool power rankings. We can just start. We'll just go. Let's just look on the actual standings on Yahoo. We got three teams at the bottom at 3-6. Kellen's favorite uncle, a.k.a. Scotty. Jason's legit team, Jason. And ATS favorite guest is Greg. All separated by, you know, a couple points here and there, but Scotty with the lowest amount of points at 988. Where do you stand with these three teams? They are all at the bottom of the power rankings. Of course, I did lose. Oh, no, I'm playing. Sorry, Scotty. This week I lost to Derek last week. No, I lost to Jason last week. I'm so confused. I lost to Jason last week.
I lost to Derek.
Scotty got the win, though. Scotty did get the win last week.
I will say this league is nowhere near decided yet. I think we've got myself and Kyle at the top at 7-2, probably making the playoffs even if we lose out or major things happen. But then, I mean, Derek, like 3-10 is a 2-game difference. And, you know, the playoffs, every team is only 1 game out of the playoffs who's currently at 3-6 with those 2, 4, and 5 teams. So it's a pretty even league. That's why I think Scotty's still in the prepare the cutlery range. He still is the only team to not break 1,000 points for. Who does he have this week? William, he is playing you. Can you put Scotty out of his misery? I think if he loses this week, it's going to be tough.
I better not lose.
Right?
Must be for me.
I mean, you're sitting at fifth, so I mean, you got to put out your best lineup. He's got to put out his best lineup and let the fates decide. Any difference you see between Jason's legit team, the commish of the ship, terrible name in this league, versus Orange Rush, the 2-time champion, who's going up against Greg, another big matchup at the bottom of the table. Greg needs a W. Orange Rush needs a W. Who do you like, Jason's team or Orange Rush for that?
Taking a look at Jason's team, he better make some changes because he's got only one quarterback right now, and that quarterback is Ben. who is on the COVID-19 list, who may or may not, they're saying he'll be fine by this weekend, but Matt Ryan is on a bye, Julio's on a bye, Sammy Watkins on a bye, Russell Gage on a bye. Safe to say, maybe Jason putting this league on the back burner, so might have to drop him into the prepare the cutlery as well.
Yeah, I think so. So Orange Rush kind of by default then gets to move up above Jason, staying in that eighth spot. Let's take a look at Orange Rush's team. I mean, you like
Clay. I mean, it must pain him to be playing Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're definitely not starting Drew Lock. That's for dang sure. So, yeah, I mean, the team has Davante Adams, and they can't manage to be better than where they are in a PPR. I think this is the season, given how, the distribution of points was less concentrated, that the quarterbacks have really been a big piece. And I think that's why, Orange Rush stays in that eighth spot. I don't particularly like his team very much. I think he's been riding Davante Adams this week, like we talked about, going up against Greg, who's currently projected to win by only 3 points. He does have Christian McCaffrey in there. He can move Leonard Fournette back in there. He's got the Chark on his bench too, so another potential options to move in for maybe some upside, depending on how Chris Godwin is. But I don't know who we're doing in matchups of the week. I'd lean Greg, so Greg's still above Orange Rush. Andrew, what do we think about Sam's team? 4-5.
I mean,
I think they've been in free fall, right? They were in about third or fourth. Now they're in that kind of back end hunt.
Yeah, and that's the Michael Thomas factor was there, but his running backs are very, very bad. He's got the Jonathan Taylor, Damian Harris combo. Needless to say, not really gonna have any luck with them. Bye week with Calvin Ridley. Obviously, he's been hurt anyway. Russell Wilson is his star, but I'm thinking we might have to start dropping Sam's team. I love you, Sam. You're coming to North Carolina, but you might be fighting for your life in this fantasy league, and might have to bring Orange Rush above him as well.
Yeah, it's a free fall. He's got prestige this week, so the losing could continue for Sam. Can we just take a pause, though? Sam needs to change his name to, like, Captain Seymour Johnson or something, because, I mean, that is a great base name. That's where he's being stationed next, out in North Carolina, so...
The logo he posted, is that a real logo? What was that?
I can't confirm or deny. I'm not big in the Seymour Johnson, archives, but it could be legit. I mean, it is a finance, group.
I'm going to send you a picture. I don't know what this is, but we'll keep going. I digress, but I'm going to send you a picture of this, and I want your comment on it, because I have no knowledge of any of this. But yeah, fighting for his life there. But yes, North Carolina, awesome. Captain Seymour Johnson, good on him. Next, we got in the power rankings, we had Greg's team, favorite guest. We have Derek's team, who is absolutely on the rise since we've been doing these power rankings. Greg kind of hanging on by pins and needles, but losing to Scotty, really not going to help your case. Derek's team now in the standings is in third. Only has 12 points scored more than me, and of course, I am in fifth. But Derek's team looks like a real winner. He's got Tannehill, who is now all of a sudden just a startable quarterback. And Carson Wentz, the other one. Woof. But he's got DK Metcalf. He's got AJ Brown. He's got Travis Kelce, who is on a bye. But now that I'm talking about his team out loud, I don't know how he's winning games, to be honest.
Yeah, Mike Davis kind of squeaked by me on a bad week. I do think he's better than Pee-Pee Face, though. I like you better than Derek's team, but I think he does, in my opinion, go ahead of Pee-Pee Face, especially this week with Tyreek Hill on a bye, likely going to have to start Christian Kirk or the aforementioned pooped-on T.Y. Hilton.
But Nick Chubb might come back this true. Week. If he does come back, that'll definitely help him. He'll take out Swift, probably. But yeah, he'll put in Christian Kirk, who, hey, as Muffin knows, boomer bust, just double like Tyreek Hill, pretty much. But that'll be, so you have Derek's team above PP Face. Where do you have my team? Sultry smells, because they smell Tanyan, just absolute dog doo-doo. Stafford, dog doo-doo. What do you got with them?
I like your team. I think
I thought Matt Staff.
I mean, Zeke has been maybe a little bit of a letdown, but Nelly G has been fine. You know, Fulgham, you've kind of found PPR gold there. Diggs, you know, he's been very good this year. Tanyan is by far your weakest link, but I mean, you've been stricken by injury with Kittle. So again, you're maybe in a little bit of a rough patch going through with these injuries, the COVID, the play hasn't necessarily been there. But you have the pieces of a top dog team. They just need to come together and play as a unit, I feel like. And maybe keep scouring the waiver wire in the wasteland for a replacement tight end. But
yeah, getting him at the right time, that's for sure.
Yeah. Tanyan, you can see how much of a wasteland is. I think I saw that Tanyan is fourth in touchdowns for tight ends, and I think he scored about three of them in one game. So hasn't been a consistent player for your team, but I still like you. Kind of knocking on that top dog door. You do need to get a win this week, though, and you, like we talked about, have Scotty's team, so definitely a winnable matchup. Go out and make it happen, Sultry Smells, and then you won't smell like a bunch of poo-poo.
Yeah, show us what we got. Prestige Worldwide, and I got a feeling. I mean, really, the two top dogs here, both 7-2, the highest point scoring teams, which is great. It's good to see that. We hate the leagues where it's the highest scoring team is in fourth place. So good on you guys, at least appropriately in the standings in Yahoo, winning when you should, and a clear two games ahead of everybody else, both of you guys at 7-2. But comparing the two teams, Prestige Worldwide, yours truly. When I say yours truly, I mean you. Tom Brady, what a stinker. Cam Newton, decent performance against the Jets. But no Mahomes this week, forced to play both those quarterbacks. Decent team, Kareem Hunt in your starting lineup for, I guess, Todd Gurley. Because we can't really play him on a bye, but regardless, you wouldn't really play him anyway. Going up against... And again, you're not going up against, I got a feeling, I'm just comparing these two teams. Who do I think is better? The quarterback situation, really good for your brother-in-law, Kyle. Running backs are solid. Very vague, kind of in-depth look. Wow, that's a vague, in-depth look. I do like Thielen's team a little bit better. And I don't mean just this week. He has Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry and James Robinson. I mean, he has Josh Jacobs on his bench as of right now because of his plethora of running backs. I do like his team a little bit more, but I guess that's just for this week.
I would give him the nod on the quarterbacks and the running backs, I think, and probably tight end. I think my wide receivers in a PPR are la creme de la creme, but... Allen Robinson.
The Chantilly Cream.
Isn't great. The Chantilly Creams. But I have no problem with I Got a Feeling. I like having that little bit of fire that I can light under my team's belly. Show them that we're number one this week going up against Captain Andrew Luck and circling back to Captain Andrew Luck. Yes, that is an eagle standing on top of money. I think it's a comptroller squadron. So I think it's a lot of accountants and things of that nature who will then use an eagle to guard the money because I think the eagle represents the planes. And I forget. I think it's like it's a cargo base. So, again, testing the depths of my knowledge. Therefore, the eagle representation and then they guard the money is. So good on you, Sam. An actual patch confirmed. Here on All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. That's what you come here for, folks.
The matchup of the week in Raftpool. I mean, God, I don't know why. I got a Thielen's team is just so good. He has Adam Thielen on his bench right now because he has Will Fuller and Robert Woods in there. I mean, I would definitely take out Robert Woods, but that's just me. Derek's team versus I Got a Thielen. 128, Derek's team. Projection against I Got a Thielen, who's projected for 139. Last week, he was in the matchup of the week, Thielen was, and his projection was 138.5. So very consistent projections for I Got a Thielen. I do like Derek's team, but I do think just the talent at the running back position for I Got a Feeling. Tonight's a big night, though. Tonight's a big night. Derek's team has Tannehill and A.J. Brown. If he can get those two on a hot start tonight versus Derrick Henry, then we can see Derek's team kind of maybe pulling off the upset and inserting himself into a better position for the playoffs. Personally, I need Derek's team to lose because he is in front of me. Who do you think comes out on top? Is Thielen just too talented?
Yeah, I think he is too talented. I think, you know, it might be the age-old managerial decisions that get him. True. I want to get your take on one of the positions on a managerial decision for Derek's team, though. Mm-hmm. His flex.
Yes.
Carson Wentz. He's got Baker Mayfield on his bench. Wentz going up against the Giants. Mayfield against the Texans. Mayfield somehow is projected for fewer points than Wentz, who has been just garbage this year. Maybe he sees how Thursday goes. I guess Mayfield is the upside play?
No, I mean, I think the Eagles have been garbage, but Wentz as a fantasy player has not been garbage. Wentz did get 29 when they played against the Giants on Thursday Night Football 2-3 weeks ago. He also just gets a lot of garbage time stats. I mean, he did only get 11 against the Cowboys 3 weeks ago, or two weeks ago before the bye week. But before that, it was 29, 29, 19, 22, 24. And then his first 2 weeks, he got 15 for Carson Wentz. So you got to go Carson Wentz here. Mayfield has not been a good fantasy quarterback at all this season. And if Wentz gets the 20, 22 points against the garbage Giants, then maybe Derek's team does have a chance. So you never know. Might get into a situation where Kyler Murray struggles against the Bills, and then maybe James Robinson doesn't get a lot of points against the Packers, and maybe it's an offensive passing game tonight against the Colts, where Derrick Henry doesn't get a ton of points. Just like last week, the Colts did a great job stopping the Ravens' running game last week. Can they do the same thing stopping the Titans' running game? Big night tonight. Colts, Titans.
Big night, big night. So if we had to pick it, I think we're both going Thielen, though, right?
Yeah, my heart wants Thielen because I need Derek's team to suffer a defeat in order for my team to jump ahead of him in the rankings. But hey, Derek, congrats, baby number two on the way. I mean, there's that.
Yes. Big ups.
Eerily close to you and Shay, right?
It is literally the inversion of our previous kids where Hadley Rose and Kellen are 5 weeks apart, and now our baby and their new baby will be 5 weeks apart the other way. So.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That is
some in-depth talk. Congrats on the sex to everybody involved. Jeff, congrats on the pod. I mean,
oh, woo. Yeah, baby.
We powered through. We got a couple stuff in here in that hour. Actual football talk. Should be a good game tonight. I don't know if I'll watch it. I haven't really been watching the primetime games.
Well, that's because they've been terrible.
Well, this is also factored in, them being terrible. But maybe I'll do something to watch them tonight if I survive the flooding. Jeff, enjoy your grab-and-go Xbox if you get it in the next week or two. Other than that, I don't know. I got nothing else. You got anything?
No, I mean, it was great, Will. I loved it. It was high class, high energy, a lot of football, a lot of fantasy talk.
Felt like I had sniffles.
I'll see you on the gridiron, as you will, in the ship. You know, we didn't break down that matchup. No need to, really.
No need to.
And good luck to you this week against Scotty's team in Rathpool. Come on, your team's better than your record says.
Yeah, time to put up or shut up. All right, Jeff, that was the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Terry, again, subscribe, rate, review. I mean, get on the iTunes. Maybe you use iTunes to listen to this, Terry. I don't know. I saw someone iTunes on a we ain't getting to my Twitter thing, but someone posted a screen capture of, oh, no, you know what it was? It was the ATN Instagram. I believe they're retweeting people listening to their pod, and someone was listening to it on iTunes. And I was like, wow, people still have iTunes. Okay. Like, welcome to the 21st century there, everybody. So, hey, Terry, iTunes. iTunes it up. Peace.
Peace out.